Parshas Bamidbar is entirely concerned with the census and the tribal and familial organization of the Jewish people in the desert. While the reason for this is unclear, the Torah doesn't tell us why the Degolim and the Shvatim and the Mishpachos and the Beis Avos, why this was so important, why such a great focus on this. Yichus in general is certainly an extremely important value in both Halacha and Hashgafa. In the context of Halacha, the gravest issue of Yichus, of course, is Mamzerus. The progeny of certain forbidden unions is a mamzer. We actually paskin that the progeny of any erva which is chayav krisus is a mamzer, but without question, historically, the most overwhelmingly most common example was the child of an eshes ish who was mezana with someone other than her husband. A mamzer is a terrible fate. A mamzer cannot marry any ordinary Jew. Beis Shmuel actually says that he shouldn't even marry another mamzer. Even though the Torah's lav is only le'ova mamzer b'kal Hashem, he shouldn't even marry another mamzer, which is entirely mutter mikra din, to avoid being marba mamzerim, to avoid producing more mamzerim. So the terrible social fate that awaits a mamzer has impelled poskim to look for solutions to mamzeris. This lecture we survey one of the oddest and most intriguing solutions proposed by the poskim over the centuries. We need to begin first with some background. We need to discuss the Talmudic idea of Afkeinu Rabbanan L'Kedushin Mineh, Chazal's ability to nullify Pashtus retroactively, maybe not, retroactively uproot a marriage. The subject of Afkeinu is an extremely complicated one that appears in numerous different cases in Shas, and Rishonim, and Achronim. In this lecture, we focus primarily on the specific form of Afkeinu, which appears in three different Gemaras. It appears in the context of a get, and there's an attempt to retract the get in various ways. And midaraisa, the retraction should be valid, and the get should be batal midaraisa, and the marriage should continue midaraisa. But because Chazal, for various reasons, wanted the get to be valid, didn't want the retraction to go through, they were misakein that the get works. In all three cases, the Gemara asks, how can that be? If midaraisa the get is batal, midaraisa she's an eishes ish. How can Chazal be misakein that she is a pnuya, that she's free to get married? So the Gemara says, afkeinu. This Gemara, the Gemara makes this basic point in three places. In Gittin, in the context of a shchiv mirah, it says that if a shchiv mirah says, if I die, it should be a get. V'amad, and he lives, he doesn't die. So Rav Huna says, if the Shchiv Merah survives, he can retract the get. Rabba v'Rava lo sviru lo hadra Rav Huna. Rabba and Rava say, we don't let the Shchiv Merah retract his get. Why? Gzera shemer yomru yesh get lachar misa. This is gzera. The Mara asks, mi kamidi? How can this be? Midaraisa law vigito mishum gzera shmina shis la alma. Because Chazal had a gzera, then maybe they had a very good concern, but a legitimate concern. But how can they permit an eishes ish to get married? So Mara says, yeah, Chazal can do that. Kolde mekadesh adaita drabana mekadesh afkina rabana l'kedushin minay. Chazal can uproot, overturn kedushin because the kedushin was adaita drabanan. The person makes his kedushin according to what Chazal wants. If Chazal wanted not to be kedushin, they overturn the kedushin. Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Tenat HaKadosh B'Kaspa, Kosher Bia Mayik L'Meymar. Mara says they can do that too. Shavi Rabbanan B'Lasi B'Las Nus. Chazal will say that retroactively they've been living in sin. So what exactly these two steps of the Gemara on, Kedushei Kesef, Kedushei Bia, what exactly is Afkeinu, is an extensively discussed sugya. For our purposes, we will just take out of the Gemara the basic idea that Chazal can overturn a Kedushin, thereby allowing a woman who Midaraisa is an Eishes Ish to get married as if she's an actual Grusha. The Gemara makes the same point in Ksuvus, the beginning of the Masechta, in the Sugya of Yesh Onus and Ein Onus Begitin. The Gemara is discussing someone who gives a get al Tnai, a conditional get. He says, if I don't return by such and such a day, you'll be Megureshes. And he doesn't return, but not because he didn't want to, but because an onus happened. Circumstances beyond his control prevented his return. So ein onus begitin means it's too bad, the get is chal anyway. Yesh onus begitin means that he has a legitimate excuse, he's an onus, and therefore the get is not chal. So the Gemara says, Maskana is, even though we paskin yesh onus, I'm a Rava, linyan gittin ain't okay. So the Mara says, it sounds like Rava holds ain't onus begittin. Maskana the Mara is no. Rava really says yesh onus begittin, and really midaraisa, his claim that he's an onus is valid, and the get really is batal midaraisa. But there's exera, mishum tnuos and mishum prutzus. The Mara explains, tnuos are pious, modest women, yamrit la vigita, zimrit la onus, visavra da onus, miagna. Tnuos will be agunas. They'll always be afraid to get married in such cases because they'll always think maybe he really wants to come back and he's stuck. So tnuos will become agunas. Prutas have the reverse problem. They're very quick to get remarried. They'll get remarried even if he is an onus. They'll say he's not an onus. So because of these problems, it'll lead to mamzerus. So because of these problems, Chazal decided to make a gzera that the din will be ein onus begitten. So again, the Gemara goes through the same shachvataria, mi kamidi, midaraisa, it's not a good get, because yesh ones, and because of your concerns, very legitimate concerns, and because of your concerns, shirina shizish la'alma, you can let a married woman get remarried without a get. And Gemara says again, kol mikash dati rabbanu mikadesh, afkeinu, and again, shavi rabbanu lasi bilas nus, the rabbanan said that the kedushin is not valid, and they've been living in sin. The third Gemara, which is the one most relevant to our discussion, appears in the context of bitul haget, a husband who attempts to nullify a get after the get has been written and he's given it to a shliach lahalacha, an agent to give the get to the woman, he's mevatel the get. So here, this is a little complicated. The Mishnah gives us the context. The Mishnah says, Barishona haya osa based in makom acher mevatlo, a person would be mevatel a get, would nullify the get, not in the presence of the woman or the shliach, just in front of a beis din. That could lead to major problems. If the woman doesn't find out that he nullified the get, as far as she knows, she received a get in good standing and she'll get remarried and lead to mamzerus and eishes ish. So hiskin rogan liel azakein, shlo yozkin hefer tikin olam. One should never be mevatel a get unless he's in the presence of the woman or the shliach. Then later, the Gemara says, bitla mevutal. What happens if you go ahead, you violate the kanas Rabban Gamliel HaZakein, and you try to be mevatel it anyway, without the presence of the shliach or the woman? So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says it works. Rosh Rabban Gamliel says, eina yachal lo levatel v'lo lehos v'altno. It does not work. Shem kei makach based in yafa. In order to strengthen the tikkun of Chazal against these problems, they said that if you mevatel it does not work. So here again, the Gemara says, mi kamidi. How can that be? Midaraisa batel gita, because of makach based in yafa, shirina shizish la'alma. So once again, for the third time, the Gemara says, kol mekadesh dati rabbanu mekadesh, afkeinu, and shavi rabbanu bilasa bilasnus. Now, we actually paskin like Rebbe, that bitla mevutel, so it's not immediately obvious that this particular case of afkeinu is relevant lahalacha. However, earlier in the sugya, the Gemara brings machlokas Rav Nachman or Rav Sheshes, how many do you need? Assuming you're not being mevatel in the presence of the shliach or the isha, maybe even if you are, how many people do you have to be mevatel in front of? Rav Nachman says two. Rav Sheshes says three. Tosus asks, why is this relevant? We paskin like Rav Gamliel HaZakein said, you have to have b'fnei shliach. So Tosus says, yeah, it's true l'chatchila that you have to have b'fnei the shliach. But we paskin bitl mavuta like Rebbe, b'diavad it works. So Mela, it's important to know, b'diavad, how many do you need? And Tosfos says, Rav Nachman or Rav Sheshes din is b'diavad. According to Rav Nachman, if you don't have two b'diavad, it doesn't work. According to Rav Sheshes, if you don't have three b'diavad, it doesn't work. Why not? Tosfos says, because of makach based in yafa. There is another possibility, it doesn't work mikra din, but Tosfos says it doesn't work because of makach based in yafa, which means because of the Takanas Chazal, because it can lead to the same problem, Vamzeris, two people, it might not be enough, maybe you need three people to make, even before Rav Gamliel's Masakin, there were already Takanas in place, that you can't be Mevatel just completely without any people hearing it, because that'll certainly lead to problems. So Tosfos says that even Lahalacha, even though we paskin Bitla Mevutel, the din of Makach based in the office still applies if you're Mevatel with fewer, in front of fewer than two people. So we have these three Gemaras, particularly this third Gemara that indicates that in certain cases, if you give a get and then you're mevatel it, or you try to be chozer, or you try to say ones, then Chazal, in order to get around your retraction, your bittel, Chazal instead turned the tables and uprooted the entire marriage. So the Rishonim ask a number of questions. If this is true, they said, a person can engineer this deliberately, and that'll lead to a number of problems. First of all, they said, let's say a person's wife is Mizana, and that's a capital crime. Payson wants to kill her. So if he likes her, if she's Basa Choso, he wants to save her life, he'll engineer one of these situations. He'll be Mivatel get Shalo Bifnei, he'll be Mivatel get improperly. That'll trigger a retroactive dissolution of the marriage. Tosfos takes for granted, as most Rishonim do, that Afka Inu works by retroactively invalidating the marriage, so she was never really an Eishes Ish. So Basin won't kill her. Also, Tosfos asks, we have a way to fix Mamzerim. Getting to our topic. A person could be Matar Mamzerim by doing this thing, by giving a get, then be Mavatalit Shalo Bifnei Shnaim or Shalo Bifnei Ashliach, and he can solve the problem of Mamzeris. So Tosfos brings two approaches. Tosfos brings the approach of the Re regarding Mechapel Basa Choso, regarding saving people from the death penalty. The Re does not care. Ain Lachush. Even though the Gemara talks about Shemi Yechapel Basa Choso, that's only when he's Mechape Shalo Kedin, by lying, by fooling Basin. But if he's Mechape, if he finds a legitimate loophole, call a kavod, no problem. The Re does not say this regarding Tira Mamzerim. Tosfos brought the original Kasha of Shemi Yechape from the Rashbam, brought the Re's Teretz, and the Rashbam said, well, what about Tira Mamzerim? And the Re has no answer. So the Re, for some reason, even though he said no problem regarding Shemi Yechape al Basa Choso on saving the wife who he loves from the death penalty, the Re does not seem to have said this regarding Tira Mamzerim. It is not clear why. Subsequently, Tosfos brings Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, no. It's true that these Gemaras, this Gemara, the other Gemaras say that if a person tries to be chozer from a bittel, tries to be chozer from a get in this way, by being mevatel, shelo b'fanav, it'll trigger afkeinu. That's only if that happens incidentally. But if he deliberately tries to do this, he says, yadinan shelakach miskavein, lo mafkeina kedushin mine. Why? Chazal were interested in making takanas and improving things. Lolo takala. If Chazal would let a person deliberately do this, that would cause a terrible pitfall. Mitoch kach, yibnos Yisrael, prutus barayas. It'll lead to promiscuity among women. Chazal certainly didn't want that. So if they see that's his goal, they do not invoke their takana. But if it's not his goal, and barlon ashlonis kavin lakach, then in achanam, the mamzer will be nitar. The Rishonim give other terutzim to these questions of Shemi Yechap al Basa Choso and of fixing mamzerim, the most relevant to us. The Rashba, the Ramban, and Ksuvas, other Rishonim, say the Chazal never actually had to uproot the Kedushin. Chazal simply threatened to uproot the Kedushin, and that itself is enough to persuade the husband not to claim Onus Begitin, not to really try to be Mevatel. Even though he said he's Mevatel, he doesn't really mean it, because he knows he's not going to get anywhere, because he knows the Chazal can override him by uprooting his Kedushin. So because of that, he doesn't really mean to be Mevatel. He doesn't really mean to claim Yesh Onus, even though he says he is. But we say that's not what he really meant. And Mela Chazal didn't actually have to be Oker the Kedushin, because the threat of it was enough to cause him to back down from what he's threatening to do. The Rashba and the Ramban don't actually like Remain of Tam, where they bring up Hashem the Re, that teretz that it doesn't work if you did it deliberately. They say, no, it's not the way Chazal works. Ain't the Midas Chacham. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Chazal are not going to play games with him and try to second guess what he is doing. The Chita Mekubetzes also brings the Ra'ah, B'Shem Mori V'Rabbi. Not exactly clear who that is, possibly the Ramban. The Ra'ah doesn't grant the original question. The same way the Re brought by Tosfos said that we don't care if he's Mechapel Basa Choso as long as it's legitimate, the Ra'ah brings the same thing, B'Shem Rabbi Mori, regarding Mamzeris. Very strong language. He says, Lo echpad lani mechol Mamzerim litar. We don't care if you fix Mamzerim. Levai sheyitaru. Great. Kol kavod. It's wonderful if you could fix Mamzerim. So why didn't Tosfos accept this? Why do all the other Rishonim think that in Cain we can fix Mamzerim? Why is that a kasha? So several contemporary Achronim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Mechash Lomo, Rav David Lau, in a paper on our topic in Truman, excellent comprehensive paper, they understand that Tosfos meant that the Stima Salashin of the Shas and the early postgame, we never heard of a solution for Mamzerus, implies that there is no solution for Mamzerus. So it wasn't Mistaver that there's such a basic, easy to do loophole. If so, we can always fix Mamzerim as long as the husband's still alive and willing to give a get. So the other Rishonim felt that it's not mashma from the halachic tradition that such an eitz is available. So these are the main approaches of the Rishonim regarding the sugya v'afkeinu and how it affects tira mamzerim. Now, all the discussions in the Rishonim were just theoretical. They were asking, maybe somebody could do this. They gave different reasons why he won't do this. Achronim, however, beginning in the 18th century, Achronim began to utilize these ideas to propose Lemaisa, that we can actually engineer such a situation of Afkaras Kedushin in order to fix a Mamzer. Now, it's important to understand this won't generally help for Aguna, because these solutions only work if the husband is alive and present and cooperative, willing to give a get and willing to engineer one of these situations. If the husband's not cooperating, or he's dead, or we don't know where he is, then we're stuck. And normally, the Isha herself, if she's not good enough, the husband's cooperating, let him just give her a get. What's the big deal? But regarding Mamzerus, this would seem to be a great solution. Let's say a woman somehow got remarried, and it turned out her husband was still alive, and she already had kids from the new husband, so the kids are Mamzerim. But if we can convince the new husband to give a get and then be Mavatalit without the presence of two people, which will trigger an Afkeinu, then his entire marriage retroactively will have been uprooted, overturned, and the kid will become no longer a Mamzer. Sounds like a great idea. So this solution was first proposed, as far as anyone knows, in a sefer called Das Vedin, published in Constantinople in 1720s, Tough Pei Beis. I haven't seen the sefer inside. I saw it quoted in Rabbi Lau's Truman article. He quotes a sefer, unfortunately it doesn't give a page number. The way he quotes it is, he says, "Al pi divrei Tosfos Eilu Mistapachti." I wonder, he says. His case is, theoretical case, Isha Shalach Baal Medina Sayam, a woman whose husband traveled far away. Adam told her, Meis Baila, your husband's dead. She got remarried. She had kids. Then the husband returns. Maybe, he says, we can fix these children's mamzerus by telling the Baal, do us a favor, send her a get, be mevatalet, it'll trigger an afkeinu, and she'll turn out to retroactively have been a pnuya, and the kids will be saved. Tzarachin. So this relatively obscure sefer in the early 18th century was apparently the first one to propose this in a modern context, halacha lemaisa. The most famous proponent, though, was a century or two later, was the Marsham. Marsham was dealing with a case, a woman who was in Aguna for 12 years. Then she heard reports that her husband was dead, so she remarried. It turned out her husband was alive. He came back. What went wrong? Apparently they had found a passport on a dead person. It was her husband's passport. It turned out that the dead person had borrowed the husband's passport. This is something the Poskim actually discuss extensively in Hilchos Aguna, whether we're choshish for she'ela, whether if you find arkelim asimon, if you find personal effects on a dead body that you can't recognize, does that allow you to conclude anything about the identity of the dead person, even if ordinary kelim, ordinary personal effects not? Some Poskim say things like passports, which are extremely personal, people don't normally lend out, are a good raya. Other Poskim say no, even a passport, sometimes you lend out. And indeed, that's what happened. In this particular case, unfortunately, the passport had been lent out, and not entirely clear whether they had gotten a proper hetzer from a proper beis din. She had gotten a hetzer from apparently the official Rav. Whatever it is, this was the situation. Marsham, in his discussion, seems to assume that she was not really at fault, that she followed proper guidance here. So the question was, is there anything we can do to save her child from her new husband from being a mamzer? It's important to note that in the Marsham's case, it was an extreme shasad chak. He says it's possible that if we rule the kid as a mamzer, she'll put him up for adoption. She'll put him up into a non-Jewish orphanage, Beis Yal de Goyim, and they'll shmat him, they'll turn into a Christian. Or, he says, the woman might commit suicide and take the kid with her because he's her only child from the second husband, so she would have been so distraught and desperate. So it was a major shasat chak. So Marsham has a lengthy, complicated tshuva on the topic. In one key paragraph from the tshuva, he tells his correspondent, the Rav, he says, Lemaisa, it's too late for my Eitzah, the Eitzah I'm about to propose, because Lemaisa, you already had the second husband gave a get, the first husband who came back gave a get. But he said, however, had you asked me, had this come to me before the first husband returned from the dead had given the get, I would have had an Eitzah of a Tushia, a solution. Lahalacha v'lo lemaisa. He emphasizes that he's not saying this lemaisa. He's proposing it lahalacha v'lo lemaisa, based on Tosfos. Tosfos says that there's potentially a possibility of salving mamzerus by engineering an afkeinu, by sending a get and being mevatala. He says certainly, according to the first teretz of Tosfos, the re that Chazal didn't care whether he's doing it deliberately or not. Certainly, it would work. Even according to the second Torah, it said if he's doing it deliberately, Chazal didn't let him do it. Chazal blocked him from taking advantage. Still, we can be matter, he says. Why? Because Chazal didn't want him to do it to protect a woman who's doing wrong, who's a scoundrel. He says, but here, where the woman did nothing wrong, she got married al pi beis din, he says, there's no takala, there's nothing wrong, he says. So even the second Torah Tosfos would agree that we're allowed to do this, and it works to be oker the kedushin. Masham goes back and forth. He says, what about the problem of bias nus? Is it really okay for him to do this, and therefore have been living in sin with his wife all his life? He says no. He brings a shita that a person who thinks he's married and is acting in good faith and is living with a woman believing he's married, that's not called bias nus. He brings, even if it turns out that retroactively the marriage has been invalidated. Lamaisa, the Masham says it's too late because the gerushin had already occurred, and now he's not her husband anymore, so it's too late to engineer this trick. It's too late to retroactively uproot the marriage, so we're stuck. So the Masham said this halacha of Lamaisa. Another more or less contemporary reference is in the Onigantif. The Onigantif was not actually talking about Mamzeris. He was talking about a case of an Ashes Kohen, a woman married to a Kohen, who may have been raped. The halacha is that such a woman is prohibited to her husband. The only solution would be if we can uproot the marriage. Then, as long as the person who assaulted her was not a apostle, was not a non-Jew or a karov, she'll be okay. A pnuya who's assaulted is still okay for kahuna. A married woman, that's considered eishes ish. That's an erava, so she can't stay with her husband. So if we can find out a way to uproot the marriage, then we can let her stay married, paradoxically, to her husband. So the Onigantif says, Chacham Echad proposed an Eitzah Tova in the style of the Marsham to invoke an Afka Inu. And he says, similarly to the Marsham, even though you see Tosfos wasn't happy with this, Tosfos asks, Yicholim Zeren Litar, can that be? Again, he says, Tosfos' restrictions on doing this are only for Prutzos. The people who behave immorally, they can't just get away with their crimes by doing Afka Inu. But a woman who did nothing wrong, he says, very possibly we could do an afkenu. Lamaisa, he brings various reasons why you can't do it, and he actually ends by saying, "Mehai time la muskar takanazu b'shum posik v'lochazin l'arbanik hashishay da'avdi hachid." We've never seen such a thing, and this is why, for reasons that we'll return to later. So we have the Das V'din, Marsham, then the Chacham Echad in the Onigantif. This appears again in the mid-20th century in a tshuva of Rav Herzog, in the Heichal Yitzchak. His case, a crazy, bizarre case out of Yemen. A man traveled away from home, back in Yemen. A while away from home, he accepted Kedushin for his daughter. A father has the right to accept Kedushin for his minor daughter. He sent a letter home informing his family of what happened. The girl, who was in the custody of her grandmother, the girl was shown the letter by the grandmother that the father had said he had been mekabel kedushin. She didn't take it seriously. Either she didn't really believe it, or she didn't really understand that the father can really do such a thing. So she just, let it go. Eventually, the father was apparently away for a long time. Eventually, she just got married to some local fellow, lived with him for a number of years, bore a child with him. Then, in the great ascension to Eretz Yisrael of the Yemenites, the two husbands encountered each other, and they saw they had a real problem here. So they went to the Beis Din. What should they do? What should they do about the marriage? What should they do about the kid? So Rav Herzog and his rabbinic correspondents have a lengthy discussion of the topic. Regarding the child, Rav Herzog says, things look pretty grim. He's going to be a mamzer. Ein Eitzah Ella. The solution is a Marsham solution. If the first husband gives a get and then is mevatelet improperly, we can say Afkas Kedushin. He says, when he first spoke to the other rabbi, he says, lo sam libo lezeh. He brushed it off. Because obviously, he says to the other Rav, you thought this was a pretty wild idea. Lamaisa, he says, the Marsham says it. Aye, the Marsham says, halacha v'lo lamaisa. Maybe, he says, Marsham just meant, halacha v'lo lamaisa, until you find another gadol. And I guess if Herzog meant, we can find another gadolim. He'll be the gadol. Someone else will be the gadol. Lamaisa, he says, no. If he meant another gadol, he should have said so. So he's not sure how much the Marsham really meant this eitzah, but he proposes it seriously as an eitzah. And then, in more recent times, this was discussed at length in a very thorough, comprehensive tshuva of the Mechashlamo by the Tzitz Eliezer, Arkel and Tchumen, by Rabbi Lau, other contemporary poskim. And Lamaisa, the later poskim, even some of the earlier poskim, have raised numerous objections to these proposals. Numerous reasons why this may not work, why it shouldn't be done even if it does work. First of all, it's not clear that afkein, that doing a bittul of a get improperly, halacha lemaisa, will trigger afkeinu. First of all, because the Gemara said afkeinu in the context of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel shita, that the get is bitlo ainu mavutel, if you mavatel a get without the presence of the shliach, we say afkeinu. We don't pass like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So our chance to say afkeinu is based on what Tosu said, that even according to Rav Nachman, that you need bitl in front of two. If you don't have two, then there's going to be afkeinu. That is far from clear. As Rosh Hashanah Zalman and other poskim discuss, some poskim seem to hold that a bitl not in front of two, if there are not two edim, it's davar she'erevah, you don't have two edim, nothing in Gittin and Kiddushin works b'chlal, meikra din without two edim. So even the Marsham and the Onig Yontif, who said that bitl b'fnei echad is where you say afkeinu, he says probably, likely they meant there are two edim, but there's zeshlo b'fnei zes, so that's sufficient for davar she'erevah, but still, since it doesn't create enough of a kol, the woman might not hear about it, so still we say afkeinu. That's also far from clear, he says. There are some poskim who seem to say that in such a case, we don't say bitlo ainu mavutl. We say the bitl actually works, halacha lemaisa. Or, there are some poskim who say even in that case it's a problem of davar she'erevah. So it's far from clear, bechlal, that the idea of afkeinu, which the Gemara said in Rabbi Shimon Galil, which we don't paskin like, is actually relevant lehalacha lemaisa, that we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon Galil. Of course, as we mentioned, there are other cases of afkeinu, but this particular one very likely will not apply halacha lemaisa, that we don't pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, we pass like Rav Nachman, that bittul must be in front of two, but not necessarily in front of the shliach. Another objection raised by a number of poskim is that a deliberate attempt to do afkeinu may not work. We've seen that the Bali Tosus already said that we don't want to encourage pritzos among women. Rav Shlomo Zalman goes further and says that it's one thing to say that if someone does something wrong, Chazal didn't want him to be mevatel, Chazal didn't want people to claim onus, Chazal didn't want Chimrat to retract the get, so they said, okay, if you're not listening to us, we're going to enforce it by uprooting your marriage. But a person who's doing everything right, who just wants to do the right thing, who's doing exactly what Basin tells him to do, so such a person, we're going to say afkeinu, Rosh Hashanah Zalman argues at length, it's a tremendous chiddush, he says, lo matzinu, that we would say afkeinu in such a case. Another pair of objections why a deliberate attempt to do afkeinu won't work are brought by the Onig Yontif. Responding to that Chacham Echad who suggested deliberately triggering afkeinu to let a wife of a Kohen who's been assaulted return to her husband, he brings the Lashon of the Ramban that a deliberate attempt to do afkeinu won't work, and he's medayik in the Ramban that he means it won't work mikra din, not because of Tosu's reason that Chazal didn't want to let you do it, it won't work mikra din. Why not? So he proposes that the Gemara explains how does bittul work. It works through the lamdish concept of asi dibur mevatel dibur. The second dibur can overpower the first dibur, can void, nullify the first dibur. But insofar as the second dibur is basically a joke, he says, he doesn't want to be mevatel the get, he wants to mevatel the marriage by doing afkeinu, he says. So such a farcical bittul, which is bechlal not intending to preserve the marriage, doesn't have the koach of a dibur to mevatel the get. So a deliberate attempt to use bittul to annul a marriage doesn't work. The Onig Yontif continues and proposes almost the opposite svara. He says, this is one he likes even better, he says. He says the entire get doesn't work. An entire get, which was written not to do an actual gerushin, but to trigger an afkeinu and erase the marriage instead, such a get is not called a sham gerushin. That's not a get, he says. Such a get wouldn't be good in the first place. So for any of these reasons, either because Chazal didn't want to do it to encourage pritzos, it might encourage pritzos, or because, like Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, Chazal didn't say afkeinu regarding people who are trying to do the right thing, or because the bittul is a joke, or because the get is a joke. So for all these reasons, various poskim argue that a get, a deliberate attempt to trigger afkas kedushin by the mevatel a get, is not going to work. Another argument raised by the poskim is, as we've seen, the Rashba, the Ramban, various other Sfaradik Rishonim have argued that Chazal never actually said afkeinu. They simply used Afkainu as a looming threat to persuade the husband not to really retract the get. But Lamaisa, they didn't actually say Afkainu. According to that, obviously, we can't use Afkainu to Matar a Mamzer. So the Marsham concedes this, but the Marsham says that Yesh Lismach, since it's a question of a drabbar, and he says Yesh Lismach on the Shitas that the Shitas of the other poskim who disagree. The Kleisenberger and the Divrei Yitziv doesn't understand. He says, how could you just choose to be Mekel? The Divrei Yitziv, as we'll discuss later, was actually very machmer on this whole question, partly for hashgrafic reasons, it seems, but the Marsham says, no, Yesh Lismach on the Shitas that say they did say Afkainu, the other Rishonim, and Marsham also, regarding the other Shail, that we don't want to encourage Pritis, he says that we're not worried. Again, we're not worried because you're allowed to use Afkainu when the woman is doing nothing wrong. Another problem raised by the Achronim, this is the problem ultimately which caused the Onigantif to ultimately reject this Eitza, is that even when Chazal said Afkainu, the consequences of the marriage still remain midrabanan. The woman is asur to kahuna midrabanan, as if she's a grusha. The former spouses may not marry each other's relatives, and the child will remain a mamzer midrabanan. So therefore, we haven't really solved anything, because even if Afkainu will erase the marriage midaraisa, the kid will still be a mamzer drabanan, and he still won't be able to get married. This is why the Negantif says that lamaisa, we don't find any of the poskim actually suggesting the Eitz of Afkainu. The Negantif's lashon is that mehai taima that drabanan, we don't solve the problem. Lo muskar takana zu b'shum posik. We haven't seen this takana in any posik. The senior rabbanon have never done such a thing. Rav Shlomo Zalman goes on. In addition to this, he says he brings numerous rayas from poskim that the afkainu itself doesn't erase the marriage midrabanan. It erases the daraisa aspect of the marriage, but it leaves the marriage intact midrabanan. So certainly, Rav Shlomo Zalman says the child will still be a mamzer midrabanan, and we haven't actually solved his problem. The Klausenberger, who, as we mentioned, was very machmer of the shaila for a number of reasons, he comes up with one extremely provocative, innovative svara. He says that poskim say, in other contexts of a woman who conceives not in the normal way, that since that's not considered a ma'aseh znus, the child is not a mamzer. Says the Klausenberger, that cuts both ways. Since in this case, the act of conception was an act that was nus at the time, that's how it was characterized, even if we retroactively change its character by uprooting the marriage, since at the time that was characterized as a ma'aseh znus, the child remains a mamzer. Incredible chiddush. We should also note that there are a number of poskim who, definitely a minority view, but there are a number of poskim who actually maintain that the afkainu, the uprooting of the kedushin, is not retroactive. It begins with Ashita Mekubetzes and Ksuvus, who says that the afkainu kedushin betelim kiim mikan ve'elach, dimlokin endem shachayim yishameshes ish, and a number of achronim defend this idea in various ways. Most amusing is the tshuva of the Netziv and the Meshav Davar. Due to various rayas, he proposes this idea. He says, I'm going to say something. Davar she'eni maven ba'asti mashani medaber. I'm going to say something that I myself don't understand what I'm talking about. Avalei machrechein lekach. But I have to say this. It's muchach, he says. And he develops this idea that afkainu is only mikan l'haba, that anytime a person is adaita d'rabana mekadesh, anytime a person makes his marriage dependent on the will of Chazal, that somehow weakens the Kedushin, it's machlish the Kedushin, to such an extent that the Kedushin can terminate mikan l'haba. He reiterates again, kvar amarti she'eni meivin mashni medaber, I don't know what I'm talking about, he says. Heich efsher, conceptually, in Lambdas, what does that mean? He says, heich efsher, she'yu a Kedushin l'chalushin meikir din Torah. How can you have Kedushin, but simultaneously weak Kedushin that can terminate? He goes on, he brings rayas to it. The various other acharonim also, the Karen Ara, Raya Leibzins, in the Tiv Gittin, propose Pachas Yasser, various ideas of a similar nature that the Hafkas Kedushin is Mikael Labba. Of course, conceptually it's very difficult, and it's against the consensus of the Rishonim, who all ask that through Hafkas Kedushin you can Mechapel Basachoso, you can Metar Mamzeris, so they all assume that the Kedushin is Lamafreya, but still it is worth noting that there are a number of poskim who maintain that the Hafkas Kedushin is not retroactive. One additional argument is that even if we assume that the Afghanu works and does solve the problem of Mzeris, as we've noted earlier, it will turn out that the husband may have been living in sin for the entire duration of the marriage. Marsham himself tries to avoid that by suggesting that since he was living with her in good faith, it doesn't have the status of Bias Nus. That's far from clear. The Mincha Shlomo argues at length that that's really quite debatable, although the Mincha Shlomo himself concedes that there still is basis to be lenient and to not disregard this problem, because since there's such a major benefit that he's conferring on the woman and child by not rendering the child a mamzer and the woman an adulteress, it might be worth it. He says it might be something that the Marsham himself talks about. We don't tell a person to do an aveira to save somebody else, but the Mincha Shlomo says perhaps the benefit to the other people involved, the woman and the child, is so great that there is basis to be lenient, and to allow him to do this. So halacha l'maisa, due to all these various objections, the consensus of contemporary poskim seems to be that we are certainly not samech on this by itself to solve a mamzer. Shlomo Zalman's conclusion is, after his 12-page shuva or so, yesh lachash tuva b'hamilsa l'safik yisur tara, to shalav adaraisa, not just a drabbanan, and you certainly should not rely on this. He begins the tshuva by saying that he saw various rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael who at least proposed doing this, and he says he's writing a whole tshuva to discuss it. His conclusion is that this is a serious shalav adaraisa, and you should not do this. Tzitz Eliezer, who raises some of the objections we've discussed previously, concludes, also brings down a Yontif, that we never saw anyone do this, and gives reasons why. And he also concludes, even more strongly than Shlomo Zalman, L'dayti ein l'shtamesh b'shum panim batzah kazeh shlafkenu, under no circumstances should this solution be implemented. And he concludes, L'ar ha'amar yesh likro nidche, we should summarily reject l'atzah kazeh shlafkenu. Both these poskim are not entirely clear that they completely reject out of hand the possibility of doing this. They say you shouldn't do it, although maybe b'tziruf of other things, like Rav Herzog said, in his case there were other stakes involved. In Rasham's case there were other issues involved, so might have been other issues involved. So it's possible to read both these tshuvos that they would recommend, if you have a strong basis to be mekel, maybe you would do this as a sniff. The Klausenberger, however, is the most vehemently opposed to this eitz of all the poskim. You absolutely cannot rely on such a trick. To think of doing such a thing. Chazal cared so much about Yuchsin, he says. Who will be so bold, brazen to do in such a terrible, such a serious issue of Mamzeris, Aldvarim Kalushim, Ashulos Sarim Avosenu, that our forefathers have never seen? He also makes this basic point that there's no precedent for such a thing in Shas and Poskim. As we've seen, the Rishonim did discuss it, but never as an actual proposal for something you should actually do. And he goes on, and he talks about what a terrible thing this is. Harbin Makhshalos, Vekulo, Shigitzmachol, Aide Heter Kazu. Many bad things can happen if we try to rely on this Heter. And Chasni Lismachal Zeh Klal, Aflatsiruf Ba'alma. He unequivocally says that this should not be used even as a tziruf. At the end of the day, though, as we have explained, all the underlying issues are virtually all machloksin, many of the mashalas of drabanan, and the virtually all machloksin. And Rav Shlomo Zalman himself, in various places in his tshuva, says that although there's makom lahachmer, at least regarding some of his objections, he says he can understand that the Marsham had the right to be mekel. At the end of the day, it seems this is really a question of shikul hadas. On the one hand, you have the Klausenberger's position, the terrible problems of Mamzerus, and the paramount importance Chazal placed on Yichus, which is all certainly true. On the other hand, saving a child from a fate, such a terrible fate of going through his whole life without anyone to marry, is clearly a noble objective too. So one certainly needs broad shoulders to decide how much weight to give to each of these concerns, and certainly precedent is on the side of the conservative side of not implementing such a strange and bizarre sounding solution. But at the end of the day, it's certainly possible to understand the Marsham and the other poskim who treated Mamzerus as such a serious concern, similar to Aguna, that it's kedai to rely on opinions which are not so glat, or which are disputed opinions, to save the person from suffering his whole life with such a suffering such a terrible fate for the duration of his entire life.